Thank you, Mr. Garvin. I think he might be just a little bit biased. Well, good morning, everyone. You know, it felt good to say that. We're fans of morning services. This morning I brought something with me. This is a little note that Sherry and I received in the mail many, many years ago. It's from a couple friends that we had met at the Feast of Tabernacles, and it arrived several weeks following the feast. It contained a couple snapshots and a little note from new friends that we had made. This was before we had children. This couple also had no children, but we really struck up a good friendship. And they just sent a little note to tell us how much they enjoyed meeting us and how much they were glad that we got together. But what I remember most from this note was not the pictures or not anything else they said in the note, except for the way they signed it. You see, above their names, they wrote four little words. Those words were, "We treasure your friendship. We treasure your friendship." You talk about something that just really makes you feel good all over, like a warm blanket on a cold autumn evening. Oh, that just made us feel so good to think these new friends whom we had made felt that way about us, because we felt likewise. It just was good news all around. I kept that little card all these years because I think, brethren, it has a real message in it for all of us. You know, they used that word treasure. They treasured our friendship. They could have easily have said, "We cherish your friendship, we value your friendship," and we would have understood. But they said they treasured it. Something about that word, it's kind of mysterious, because we all know that a treasure is something of value, something that is to be sought after. I don't think it's any coincidence that Jesus Christ used that same word in describing his Father's kingdom. And that's what we're going to examine today. One little verse from the words of Jesus Christ found in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 44. And today we're going to examine that verse and see about treasuring our calling as Christians, treasuring our calling. Matthew 13, verse 44. Jesus said, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." If you're like me, you've probably read that verse countless times. But did you notice, in Jesus' words, there were four distinct and separate actions that the man in the story took. Let's read it again. "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field." All right, now it's time to enter the man. This is the first point, "which a man found." That's the first thing. The man found the treasure. He recognized it as being something of value. Maybe he was just passing through this field on his way and stumbled across it. Looked down and thought, "What is this that's caused me to stumble?" And he realized, it's a treasure. It's something of value. That was the first thing, because otherwise he would have just gone merrily on his way, never recognizing that this thing which had caused him to stumble was in fact a treasure. Isn't it the same when someone is called into God's church? Isn't that the way it was for all of us when we were called? We suddenly recognized God's precious truth, His calling. Many people in God's church have come from other churches in the world. Many people have said, "You know, I've read the Bible all my life, but I never really understood it until suddenly it was as if God was opening my eyes And suddenly now, it made sense. We recognize what God offers as the treasure it is. That's the first step in finding a treasure, seeing that it really is something of value. You know, the people in this world do not see what we're doing here today as anything to be treasured. Here we are in this hall on a Saturday morning. You're all sitting there listening to me preach this sermonette. To the rest of the world, this would be foolishness. What a way to spend a Saturday morning. But what about to us? Hopefully, we all understand why we're here. It's because this truth from God, which we've come to embrace and understand, is a treasure. And that's the first step in finding a treasure, to recognize it as something of value. Well, let's continue. What happens next? That was point number one, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it. That's the second word we want to notice. Joy, the key word. What did he do? He rejoiced. He was glad. He was happy. He was exuberant. He was excited with what he had found. He was filled with joy. Wasn't that the way it was when we were called? After we had found and understood God's truth, weren't we joyful? Didn't we want to go and tell all our friends and family about this precious treasure we had just discovered? And we found that it wasn't so precious in their eyes. But we were filled with joy. We were glad. And that's what Jesus says here. It's like finding His Father's kingdom. God's truth is something that can fill us and should fill us with joy. And that's usually the way it is when someone comes into God's church. But of course, sometimes what happens soon thereafter? Trials, troubles, difficulties arise. And sometimes, if we're not careful, that joy can fade a little bit and dissipate. We need to be careful to make sure that we don't let that happen. All right, those were the first two steps, recognizing the treasure, rejoicing over it. Let's continue. After the man had been filled with joy, for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. What did he do? He mustered his resources. He sold everything else he had so that he could buy the field, so that he could acquire the treasure. He wanted the treasure to be his. He didn't want it to just belong to someone else. I mean, he didn't own the land. And so he said, well, if I can buy that land, then the treasure will be mine. Isn't that what we need to do with this treasure of the calling into God's kingdom that He has extended to us? Isn't that what we want to do, what we need to do? Well, stop and think for a moment. This man didn't want someone else to come and say, oh, that treasure is mine, you can't have it. Do any of us have to worry that God's treasure is not going to be adequate for everyone? Do we have to worry that Jesus Christ is going to say, oh, I'm all out, don't have any more seats left on the bus, don't have any more room in my Father's mansion? I think we all understand that's not the case. God has a place and room in His kingdom for everyone. Well, then how could we lose it? How could we not acquire it? Well, sadly, if we don't do the things that God teaches us in His Word to do, if we're not following the Christian path that He has taught us, if we're not building character, if we're not bearing fruit, growing in God's truth, those are the things we need to do. And we all know that. There's nothing new here, brethren. That's how someday we're going to acquire this calling, this calling realized into God's kingdom. Oh, we'll never earn it, but God makes it abundantly plain. He's going to give it to those who demonstrate through their lives that they love Him and want to live His way. Acquiring it, obtaining it, that's the third step. Well, what about the fourth step? There's one little word that we skipped over moments ago. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. He hid it. The NIV renders that he hides it again. Why? He was protecting it. He was protecting the treasure. He didn't want someone to come along and jump his claim. He didn't want someone else to come along and find the treasure while he was going to the bank to sell his property and buy this field. So he covered it up and hid it and hoped that no one had seen him doing this. He wanted to protect the property. Didn't want someone to come along and jump his claim. Well, brethren, what about our calling? We've just spoken about how we can obtain it. How can we safeguard it, though, to make sure that no one else takes it away from us? Well, sadly, brethren, no one else can really take it away, but we can give it away. We can drop it on the ground if we're not careful. If we can say, you know, God, I guess I'm not really as dead set on being in your kingdom as I thought I was. Oh, we might not actually vocalize it in those words, but our actions might say that if we're not diligent about making our calling and election sure. If we're not protecting this precious calling, this precious treasure, then we could lose it. We could lose it. So let's recap here briefly. We've seen that in Jesus Christ's comparison of his Father's kingdom to treasure, there's four steps we must follow. We have to recognize the treasure and see it as a real thing of value. We have to rejoice, to be joyful over it, to just be filled with God's joy. Then we need to acquire this treasure. And we do that through the way we live. And finally, we again, through the way we live, need to be protecting it, making sure we don't ever let it slip away. It's through these steps that we can really obtain this precious calling into God's most precious kingdom. This spiritual treasure can be ours, yours, mine, for all eternity. And if we live our lives this way, it'll be just like sending a little note to God up in heaven, saying, Father, we treasure your friendship. We treasure the precious calling you have given to all of us.